There will probably always be disagreements over timber sales on federal land, especially on BLM land in western Oregon, because the BLM land, former railroad grant land, is designated by law to be used for timber production, and the timber sales help fund county budgets. BLM proposes the Ned's Bar sale in the Applegate Valley west of Medford, and a number of conservation groups oppose the Ned's Bar sale as heavy on the timber, light on the habitat protection, so they're proposing a different approach. Those groups include the Klamath Forest Alliance, which counts among its membership Luke Riediger, our guest here in the Jefferson Exchange studio. Once again, Luke, welcome to the Exchange.
Thanks for having me, Jeffrey.
So tell us a bit about you. You are very committed to the landscape and apparently live off the grid and kind of out in the outback.
Yeah, I'm a lifelong resident of southwestern Oregon, and I currently live in the Applegate Valley and engaged in forest activism in the area and also forest restoration. So I have a lot of background in ecological restoration and the diversity and the ecology of the Siskiyou Mountains as well.
There is some particular history to the Applegate Valley, and I noted from reading the stuff that you've posted online that it reminded me of the fact that we had talked about the Applegate Valley 20 years ago as an adaptive management area, which means what?
Well, the adaptive management area was designated in 1994 under the Northwest Forest Plan, and it was identified as an area where the Forest Service and the BLM would develop and test forest management practices that involve partial cutting, prescribed burning, low-impact harvesting techniques, and also collaboration. One of the emphases of the area was to manage for late successional forest and high-quality riparian habitat. It's been specially designated as an area to encourage collaboration and kind of ecologically-based, innovative forest management practices.
And has the collaboration been there over the last 20, 21 years?
By and large, the opinion of most of the residents and community groups in the Applegate Valley is that the Applegate Adaptive Management Area has not been implemented in a way that has encouraged community collaboration or really taken advantage of the opportunities that the Adaptive Management Area has given the area in developing and testing these more innovative kind of alternative forest management practices. So if you talk to the BLM, a lot of times they'll tell you that the Applegate Adaptive Management Area is matrix land and therefore is to be managed for timber production.
Well, and that is, in fact, under the Northwest Forest Plan, the area where the most timber is supposed to come from, right?
Correct, yes.
All right. So what have been the obstacles, do you think, in getting the level of collaboration that you apparently and other people had hoped would have been taking place there?
I think a lot of the obstacles that we're facing in terms of implementing the adaptive management area in the way it was originally intended have to do with kind of conflicting management directives between the adaptive management area and, say, the ONC Act and other federal land management mandates that require timber production to take to be kind of the driver for land management in the area. So there's kind of conflicting values there and conflicting management directives there. And I think that's kind of complicated the issues over the years.
And the ONC Act is the one that designates that half the timber receipts go to the counties, which, of course, is a big boost for the county budgets and one of their major sources of revenue over the course of the last century or so. So what are some of the specifics about the Ned's Bar sale? Where, how big, and what are some of the prescriptions there?
So the Ned's Bar timber sale is a large landscape scale timber sale proposed by the BLM in the adaptive management area, and more specifically in the Little Applegate and Upper Applegate River watersheds. It's about it's roughly 2,500-acre timber sale that will encompass, well, units will be scattered throughout the Applegate Valley, extending from McKee Bridge area down to the confluence of Little Applegate River, and then up the Little Applegate River along the kind of residential corridor from the mouth of the river all the way up to Bald Mountain towards the headwaters. So it's a large swath of both the Upper Applegate and Little Applegate River watersheds.
If it hugs those watersheds, is it rather V-shaped, or is it much more inclusive than that? Of
The planning area is what they call the area they've identified to analyze for timber production. And the planning area is kind of a long rectangular shape, and it encompasses most of the watersheds draining south into the Little Applegate River watershed, and kind of the high divide between the tributary watersheds of the Little Applegate and the main stem of the river.
Luke Reedy is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, one of the folks in the Klamath Forest Alliance interested in changing things at the Ned's Bar timber sale as proposed by the BLM in the Applegate and Little Applegate Valleys. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments about this or other forestry moves. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Check us out on Facebook as well, and check out the picture of Luke from the studio from a few minutes ago. How long ago was the Ned's Bar sale proposed?
Well, the Ned's Bar timber sale was originally proposed by the BLM when they came out with what they call their scoping letter or their scoping notice. And this is the document that identifies where they're going to be proposing for timber management and kind of the generality as to how they're going to be proposing treatments in the area. And that was submitted to the public in July, so kind of been in the works since the summertime.
And you mentioned 2,500 acres, roughly. What kind of board footage are we talking about taking out? Because that usually tends to be one of the figures that triggers some interest.
Well, that is kind of yet to be decided. One of the things that's interesting about the Ned's Bar planning area and the Ned's Bar timber sale area is that the sale is proposed mostly in the Little Applegate River watershed, which is one of the driest watersheds west of the Cascades in Oregon. And so timber values in the area are relatively minimal. Growth rates are relatively slow. And so they've actually looked at the management of the timber in the area and have identified that the Ned's Bar planting area will produce about half of the timber per acre that many of the other areas that they're looking at for timber sales right now in the Medford District will produce. So it's although it is a large sale with large acreages, we're not certain what the board footage will be, but it will probably be less than your average BLM timber sale due to the stand conditions and the dryness of the watershed in general.
Given that we're calling this a timber sale, is that part of the issue for you, is that you question the very premise of thinking of it first as a timber sale instead of as a project of some kind or a forest restoration project?
Well, one of the things that's interesting about the Ned's Bar timber sale is that, you know, in the past, say over the last 20 years or so, the BLM has been proposing timber sales in the Applegate and in the Medford District in general, that they've been selling to the public as forest restoration or fuel reduction timber sales and vegetation management projects that will reduce fire risks and hazards in the area. The Ned's Bar timber sale, in the scoping documents, identified timber production as the only objective of the timber sale. And so we're seeing the emphasis of this timber sale shift from thinning and fuel reduction and forest restoration type thinning projects to more of a timber-oriented logging project, as I said, in one of the driest watersheds west of the Cascades. And so there's some concerns about how that will impact fire hazards in the area. Folks are saying that it will increase fuel hazards because of the extensive canopy reduction and the removal of large, old, fire-resistant trees. And we're also concerned about the impacts to quality of life in the Applegate and wildlife habitat as well as watershed values. So there's a lot of concerns, and folks would really like to see this timber sale reworked and made more consistent with the values of the Applegate Adaptive Management Area and the local residents of the Applegate River area as well, and shift the focus from timber management, from solely timber management, to more of a holistic approach that involves fuel reduction and forest restoration.
How long has it been since there's been a timber sale proposed that was quite like this in terms of its timber intensiveness?
Well, at least in the Applegate Valley, it's been quite some time. The the timber sale is, as I said, quite different than a lot of the timber sales we've seen in the Applegate Valley over the course of the last 20 years. And so, you know, because of the approach taken, the BLM has seen a large amount of community opposition, and folks are feeling as though the management directives in the valley have either shifted, or some of these management directives from the Applegate Adaptive Management Area are not really being implemented in the Ned's Bar timber sale. So there's concern about that.
If, in fact, the Little Applegate River is as dry as you say it is, one of the driest watersheds west of the Cascades, is there that money? You said it's not going to be that big a timber sale in terms of timber. And let me see if I can remember what you said, or you can help me out with remembering what you said, but that the timber doesn't grow particularly well there. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, the area is it's really an interesting mosaic of non-forest plant communities, which means oak woodland, grassland, chaparral, more dry plant associations. And then there's also scattered throughout the watershed in North Slopes and in canyon bottoms, you'll find forested areas. But because of the stand conditions and because of the climactic conditions in the area, the forests are on the dry side and relatively marginal compared to the forests, say, to the north and to the west in Oregon. And so timber values in the area are generally lower than other areas in Oregon. And one of the things that we've seen is that oftentimes the management of these areas doesn't necessarily reflect the conditions that we find in the Little Applegate Valley. So a lot of people are concerned about how the heavy reduction of canopy will influence, in particular, fire hazards in the area by increasing more sunlight to the forest floor. We're expecting to see a large increase in understory growth in terms of shrubby species and regeneration in the understory that creates ladder fuel. And given the dry nature of this watershed, people were very concerned about fire hazards and fire risks, and also about wildlife habitat, because the rate of growth and the way that these forests regenerate is much slower than those up north. And therefore, if we intensively manage these areas for timber production, we're oftentimes having significant impacts to habitat values, like for species such as the northern spotted owl and the Pacific fisher that like more late successional or old growth type characteristics.
It sounds like the major concern is you cut down what's there now and you don't get it back down the road.
That has been a problem in the area. Historically, when there was a lot of clear-cut logging going on in the Siskiyou Mountains, there was a lot of problems with regenerating those stands. Some of the treatments proposed in the original Ned's Bar timber sale proposal included what they call structural retention regeneration harvest, which is a very heavy form of logging that would look to regenerate the stand. So it's although it's different than a clear cut, it has some of the same objectives in terms of removing overstory canopy and regenerating the stand, a young stand underneath the few trees that would remain after logging.
Luke Riediger is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange from the Klamath Forest Alliance. We're talking about the Ned's Bar timber sale proposed for the Applegate Valley and the Little Applegate watershed as well in southwestern Oregon, generally west of Medford. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments about this or other timber practices. 800-838-3760 around the region. 800-838-3760. Send emails to jx@jeffnet.org or check out Luke's picture on our Facebook page. So what kind of dialogue has there been with the BLM, and how far along is the process right now?
Well, as I said, the BLM proposed this timber sale in July, and there was a lot of concern in the community due to where this timber sale was located in the Little Applegate River watershed and Upper Applegate watershed. Also, the fact that it would be taking place partially in some of the roadless areas in the area and some of the older, more fire-resistant stands. And so through that community opposition, the BLM asked folks in the Applegate Valley to come up with what they're calling a community alternative that would be analyzed in the environmental analysis along with the BLM proposal. And so the community has been working on that. We've created a group called the Community Alternative Working Group, which is a coalition of local Applegate Valley residents that have created this alternative and submitted this alternative to the BLM for inclusion in the environmental analysis. And so at this point, we've submitted that document and our prescriptions and proposal to the BLM and have really gotten just kind of a cursory response back, as, you know, as they take the opportunity now to look over our proposal, and there's going to be continued dialogue about how we can potentially implement that proposal, or you know, how the analysis of that proposal will be implemented in the environmental review for the project.
Cursory response along the lines of, yeah, we got it, we're going to take a look at it now?
Well, we received an email from John Garitzma, the field manager, after submitting the proposal, and he did appear to be pretty impressed by what we put together, and I could quote what he said. He said that the amount of detail and documentation of rationale for your alternative is nothing short of amazing. I am not aware of any other effort to this degree in our area by a community group. And truthfully, the amount of detail and knowledge and effort that went into this community alternative is far and beyond what I've seen by other community groups in the area. And so I think that we have a very good opportunity to work with the BLM to hopefully implement this proposal because we believe it is viable on a lot of levels, whether it be economic, ecological, social, or legally.
Through the process that the BLM is working through, and it sounds like it's the smaller version of the NEPA process, the environmental assessment versus the environmental impact statement.
Yeah.
So, but they still have to identify preferred alternatives, correct?
Yes.
Do they have a preferred alternative already identified?
Yes. Currently, the BLM has a preferred alternative, which is Alternative 4. And that is the proposal that the BLM has put forward as their you know, what they're proposing as far as their preferred action. And that would include about, you know, rough estimate is about 1,500 acres of commercial logging. The numbers have changed a little bit because they've recently dropped some units due to the efforts of some of the local community groups and some of the monitoring that's taken place of the timber sale units. The Klamath Forest Alliance and the Siskiyou Crest blog, which is a website that I run, has taken on a project called the NEDSBAR Community Monitoring Program, and we've actually gone out to all the timber sale units, reviewed those units, and we used that monitoring and that review effort to inform the community alternative. And that was quite an undertaking because there's over 90 timber sale units scattered throughout the Applegate Valley.
And so you guys have covered a lot of ground and stomped on a lot of hillsides.
Exactly, yes.
So how different is the community alternative from the preferred alternative?
Well, the community alternative obviously has a slightly different focus than the preferred alternative that the BLM has put forward. We're proposing a forest management project that would include 550 acres of commercial timber sale units, and about 1,400 acres or so of fuel reduction. We're looking at commercial treatments in units that are not high-quality habitat for the northern spotted owl. We have proposed to defer or cancel units that incorporate old-growth stands of trees, fire-resistant old stands of trees, and fire-resistant old trees that might exist within younger stands. So we're trying to protect that old forest component because it is the component in our forests that is the most resilient to fire and also provides some very vital wildlife habitat in the area for protected species.
Have you actually gone unit by unit and essentially tree by tree to say this tree should stay, this one's okay to go, that kind of stuff?
We've gone unit by unit. I wouldn't say tree by tree, but we have created very detailed unit prescriptions for the units that we do think would benefit from thinning treatments. And so that those prescriptions are open to the public for review if they'd like to look at them. We have if people are interested, they can get copies of the community alternative. They can also sign on to the community alternative and get all the information that goes along with that. And that information is available if you email nedsbarca@gmail.com, nedsbarca@gmail.com, and that's all lowercase. And if you email that that contact, we will send you links to all the information regarding our alternative.
So it's not out there on a public site where they can just access and take
not the currently. We're working on that.
Right, so. But you have a fair amount of detail at your Blogspot site, don't you?
Yeah. There's if you look at the Siskiyou Crest blog, which is www.thesiskiyoucrest.blogspot.com, there are dozens of posts that kind of share the results of our monitoring and kind of what we see as units or issues of concern in the Nedsbar timber sale. And there's also a post that shares and identifies what the community alternative is and how you can get information on that.
And that is the site that we are linked to through jeffexchange.org and our story about this there. So how many people are involved in the work of compiling the information that went into the community alternative? And do you have any idea of how many person hours are tied up in this?
There's hundreds and hundreds of hours that have been dumped into by the community into creating the Nedsbar community alternative. The working group is a fairly small group of maybe 8 to 10 people with a large base of support throughout the community that's been helping to facilitate the project. There's a lot of people involved, and about 350 people have signed on thus far.
And when do you hear from the BLM about which alternative they'll choose?
The environmental analysis is supposed to come out in May, and they are supposed to make a decision about a month later.
Are comments allowed right now, or is it?
Comment period will begin when the environmental analysis is put out in May.
Okay, so draft environmental analysis on the way. Luke Riediger is with the Klamath Forest Alliance and the Community Alternative Working Group, working to provide a community alternative to the Nedsbar timber sale in the Applegate Valley. Thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.